This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala hilmihi ba'da ilmihi wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. وقال تعالى: فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك، فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الامر، فاذا عزمت فتوكل على الله، ان الله يحب المتوكلين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders, brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon the best of Allah Ta'ala's creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through whom we have received Allah Ta'ala's message. And we are perpetually indebted to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his many favors. Says Allah in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I have done you a tremendous favor. إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That I have sent a Rasul from amongst your own kind, from amongst humanity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to define some of the objectives of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, in a Sirah Jalsa, I always like to say from the very outset that we can never do justice to the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never can you do in terms of listening, and neither can I in terms of speaking about the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is far more greater than our speech, far more greater than what we can hear. And it is a reality that the lack of our eloquence and the lack of the proper words in our vocabulary must not detract, it must not take away from the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is far more greater than our speech, far more greater than our articulation, far more greater than what we can hear about his praises. Junaid Jamshed rahimahullah used to sing a very famous nazam. I always like to make mention of one portion of it. Dil ko himmat nahi, lab ko yaara nahi, tujhsa koi nahi, tujhsa koi nahi. O beloved of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts don't have the capacity, our tongue doesn't have the vocabulary to praise you. And tutsa koi nahi, tutsa koi nahi. Just in short, we say, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. And we can go on making mention of the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can go and say that, what can you and I speak about the greatness of Allah when Allah Ta'ala says, wa rafa'na, speak about the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah Ta'ala says, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. We have exalted your remembrance. What can you and I thereafter do when Allah Ta'ala takes it upon himself to say, I will exalt the praise and I will exalt the remembrance of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What can you and I do any justice when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your conduct is of a very great and exalted state, a very high state, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. What can you and I do thereafter? So we can speak about the greatness and we can give many examples of how great our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. One portion and one aspect that we must never ever forget is, we must never mystify the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that we don't benefit from it. After all, Allah Ta'ala has made Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is a perfect example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. We have sent in the Rasul of Almighty Allah a most perfect example for you to lead a life. Hazrat Maulana, in the preface and in the introduction, made mention of the importance of the sunnah. And I can just mention on this, you know, when you say uswa hasana, a perfect example, a perfect sample if you want to lead an excellent life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. A most perfect example for an ideal life for those who believe in Allah, believe in the day of Qiyamah. So to give you an example of a sample, an example, you go to a tailor, right? And you go and give him a sample of your kurta. And after you give him a sample of your kurta, when it comes back, it's not according to the sample. And he says that I did everything right, but you know, the sleeve, I just didn't do it according to the sample. Will we be happy? We won't be happy. He said, but I gave you the sample. How can you give me a kurta against the sample I gave you? I gave you the sample. Now you're telling me that the sleeves are short, the length is not the same. Won't you get angry? Because you gave the sample and the tailor didn't do it according to the sample. Everyone will get angry. Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you the sample. I gave you the example. Now it's for us to live our life according to that sample, according to that example. Now today the topic that has been chosen is leadership lessons from our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this is a very, very important topic. We all know that we are in a time that each and everyone yearns good leadership. We all speak about the aspect of good leadership. And you see, one of the things that we must never make a mistake today, we only tie leadership to an organizational position or to a trustee of a masjid or to an organizational position in a company or in an organization or in the political sense. Leadership is not necessarily tied to an organizational position, is not necessarily tied to a political situation or political leadership. In Islam, everyone is a leader. In some way or the other, Allah has made each and every one of us leaders. And we all know this from the hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyyati. Each and every one of you is a shepherd. And you will be asked about those who are under your authority, under your command. If you are a father in the house, you are a leader. If you are a husband, you are a leader. If you are a student, in some ways you are a leader. In each and every sphere you are in, you are a leader. And today, of course, leadership assumes greater importance because of the lack of leadership. So we all the time yearn for leadership. So sometimes with regard to our leaders, whether it be our community leaders, our imams, the religious leadership, or the political leadership, sometimes you might have unfair expectations. Or sometimes, many a times, our grievances and our complaints with regard to leadership is genuine. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, when authority is given to people who are not worthy of it, when authority is given and taken by people who are not worthy of it, then wait for the day of Qiyamah. Among the signs of Qiyamah would be that authority and leadership will be welded and will be held by people who are not worthy of it. One important point that we just say from here is that when we talk about signs of Qiyamah, many a times we take it as something that is bound to happen. We have no say with regard to it. We can't do anything. So if it is said that leadership will be vested in people who are not worthy of it, that means it's a reality. Why must we try for it? Why must we worry about it? It's a given fact. It's going to happen. The signs of Qiyamah doesn't work like that. The signs of Qiyamah is Allah Ta'ala tells us something, that this is going to happen, for us to take precaution to the best of our ability against it, so that we do not become the means of the signs of Qiyamah. It's like someone living on the riverbank. And when he lives on the riverbank, someone tells him, the river is going to flood its banks. It's going to flood its bank. Do anyone in that situation take a view that it's bound to flood? What am I going to do? What can I do? It's going to flood. So let it be whatever it is. You take all your precautions. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mention with regard to the signs of Qiyamah, We try to stay away from those things which are the signs of Qiyamah so that we do not become the means of Qiyamah coming quicker. Because Qiyamah will be one great trial. So this is how we look at the signs of Qiyamah, and it is something that we have to keep in mind. So as I said, that leadership is something that everyone yearns for. We all want good leadership. Leadership is not tied to a political organization, not tied to an organizational structure. Each and every one, in some way, is a leader. Many of you young people who are here, you should strive towards becoming people who can take up something that can make a change for the better. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, he realized the importance of the position of being the treasurer. When there is going to be plenty, and after plenty there is going to be scarcity. And he told the king of Egypt, the leader of Egypt, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Make me in charge of the treasury. Make me in charge of the treasury. So sometimes there is a need for us to take it up so that we can do better. We don't take it up for the sake of worldly position, worldly honor, respect and dignity. We take it up that we can do things for the better of the community, for the better of the society. As Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam said, make me in charge of the treasury. Then of course, there's another very important point that today, leadership has become a major topic of discussion, topic of writing. I just read recently, I did a talk on this some years back in the Sirah Jalsa, and on leadership. That time I did the, you know, some steps. I don't know, the steps might have even been more or might less, I don't know. You know, sometimes there is a such a particular trend, the trend peaks. So there was a time with regard to, you know, the aspect of books on leadership. And Amazon had 60,000 titles up for offer with regard to leadership books. 1,000 books every year new on leadership. 60,000 books Amazon had on its database with regard to leadership. It tells you that this is how it generated interest with regard to how can we people become leaders in their societies, in their communities, in their companies, in their multinationals, in their businesses. It has become such a big thing. And we all know the names of the people who have become very famous in leadership books. There was a time when Stephen Covey was famous. Of course, now people have moved on with regard to that. In our tradition, there are many ulama who have written great books on leadership. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written on leadership. Perhaps one of the more famous in our traditions had been Ibn Khaldun, who has written extensively on Islamic leadership and leadership qualities from an Islamic perspective. And you must remember, Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayhi was one of the greatest sociologists who understood society, who understood leadership. And Ibn Khaldun had written a Kitabul Ibar, which was of 17 volumes. And only the muqaddama of that, only the preface of that was one volume, one big volume. Arnold Toynbee, the British historian, when he read the introduction to the Kitabul Ibar, the muqaddama of Ibn Khaldun, he had written, he said, the greatest work of its time, the greatest work ever compiled in any time by any person. And Ibn Khaldun rahmatullah alayhi has written extensively with regard to leadership. Now, when we talk about leadership and we talk about power, and we know that leadership is a very important thing, we yearn for good leadership, we know the situation in our country, where what has happened to the political leadership which has failed us, that whole particular idealism that people had in the early 1994 when, you know, we achieved quote-unquote freedom, that particular idealism is out of the window. Right. So everyone yearns for good leadership. And of course, leadership and, you know, power is one of the greatest challenges. We all heard of the English saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And sometimes power is not necessarily only in the political sphere. Let me tell you, let me see again that power is not only confined to the political sphere. There is power in finance, there is power in wealth, there is power in religion. Yes, there is power in that also. And that also is a great challenge. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, among the signs of Qiyamah is barefooted people will compete in constructing major buildings. And they will compete with one another in putting up tall skyscrapers. So this is the reality. There is going to be power in finance, there is going to be power in wealth, the wealthy will try to outdo one another. There will be power in people in the community trying to gain power. All of that is a reality. Power corrupts, and it is not necessarily only in the political sphere. Now, when we talk about leadership qualities from our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how do we deal? What do we see first? You know, there was a very extensive study done on leadership some years back. It was done by the very famous Causus and Poster. Right, there's a very famous, you know, leadership consultancy that deals with leadership. And they did a study some years back, and they interviewed 75,000 people in six continents to ask which is the most important ingredient in leadership. What is the most important attribute to be a leader? And you can be a leader even in your own house. In fact, you are a leader in your own house. And each and everyone is a leader in their own house, given the different roles and responsibilities Allah Ta'ala wants them to play. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Allah has given the father of the house, the father, a responsibility. As a husband, he has been given the responsibility. Sometimes we make jokes about it. They say that the husband is always the last, he always has the last say in any argument in the house. And normally it is something like this: I'm very sorry. Yeah. So this is also the aspect with regard to leadership. We are all leaders. So in this survey, they found and they did a study with regard to what is the most important ingredient with regard to leadership. And you will be surprised. They found that the most important ingredient for a leader is honesty and integrity. The most important quality for a leader, whether it be the leader in the house, whether it be the leader in the community, whether it be the leader in the business, whether it be the leader in any sphere, the most important quality of leadership is honesty and integrity. And it is portrayed in this way: if you don't believe the messenger, you won't believe the message. If you don't believe the messenger, you won't believe the message. And let me just slightly go, you know, just a little bit away from this. This is the reason why ulama and our religious scholars have always emphasized the aspect of respecting the messenger. Because if you don't respect the messenger, you will tend to lose respect of the message. So who are the messengers? Of course, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest messenger, whom Allah Ta'ala has appointed. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. But then the Sahaba, they are the one who carried the message. The ulama, Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, the ulama are like a flag, the flag of the country. You respect the flag of the country because it is a symbol of the country. The ulama are the symbols of deen. So one of the reasons why you respect the messenger, if you don't respect the messenger, you won't be able to respect the message. It's a different story, and it's a rather tragic one at that, that today the messengers are being undermined by their own. The messengers are undermined by their own. But that is a topic for another day. But this is a reality, that if you don't believe the messenger, you won't believe the message. Now, look at our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's leadership quality. You would recall from the books of history, when our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his first public call to Islam. For 3 years, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preached Islam and made da'wah secretly. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, proclaim Islam openly to your family members and to your tribe members. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on the Mount of Safa, raised the white flag. White flag at that time, when you raised the white flag from the Mount of Safa, was, I got a very important message to give. Everyone comes and listen to my message. And the people came and everyone flocked, because Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the one who was known for his honesty and integrity, he was calling people for an important message. And he waved a white flag. And everyone came. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he gave his message, he asked the people of Makkah, "O people of Makkah, I have stayed 40 years in your midst, over 40 years in your midst. Hal wajadtumuni sadiqan am kadiba?" O people of Makkah, in this 40 odd years, did you find me to be honest or otherwise? The Arabic word is something else. I don't have the courage to translate it. Hal wajadtumuni sadiqan am kadiba? O people of Makkah, did you find me to be truthful or otherwise? And they all said in unison, "O Muhammad, you stayed with us 40 years. We never ever saw you speaking a lie." And then Nabi Karim SAW, to emphasize this point, he said, "If I were to tell you that there is an army behind this mountain, would you believe in me?" And they said, "We never ever heard you speaking a lie, and if you were to tell us this, that there is an army, we will believe in you." And Nabi Karim SAW, after he had imposed and impressed upon the people his credentials as an honest person, a person of integrity, then he said, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." O people, say la ilaha illallah, Allah will make you successful. Brothers, without honesty and integrity, without showing and telling people that you are honest and you are a man of your word, you are a man of integrity, you would not be able to have leadership qualities. This was the beauty of our beloved Nabi Karim SAW. When Maulana Ibrahim Diola recently came to South Africa, I was sitting in one of his talks when he spoke to some of the, you know, the old workers, and you say Purano mein bayan ki. He spoke to the, you know, old workers, and he told them the same thing. And he said, "Until you do not prove your credentials as a person whom you can be trusted, your word and your dawah thereafter cannot be effective." Brothers, this is the first, one of the greatest aspects of the leadership qualities that we learn from our beloved Nabi Karim SAW. Such was his honesty. Such was his integrity, even in the most crucial times. In the Battle of Khaybar, this was a perfect example. Aswad-e-Ra'i was a shepherd. He was looking after the sheep. So he came with the sheep of the people of Khaybar, the Jews of Khaybar, and he came out and he said, "Let me go and see Muhammad. Let me go and see the Muslims. You heard much about them." So he brings the sheep of Khaybar, he leaves it one side, and he comes to the Muslims and said, "Tell us, who is your leader? Tell me, who is your leader?" He said, "He is Muhammad. He is our leader. He's in the tent." And he's in the tent. He goes and meets Nabi Karim SAW. He's taken aback that Nabi SAW meets him. And then he starts speaking to Nabi Karim SAW. He said, "What will be my position if I become a Muslim?" "You will have equal rights, like all the Muslims who are here. You will have immediately the same rights." Ya Allah, he's taken aback, because in the environment that he came from, he was an ordinary shepherd. He was not given any rights. And here Nabi Karim SAW said, "The moment you read Kalima, you will become like one of us." He said, "I'm becoming a Muslim." And Nabi Karim SAW, brothers, this is what Nabi SAW told him. You and I perhaps would have made an excuse. How it is? It is the wealth of the enemy. We can take advantage. It's not so important for us to be honest with regard to the wealth of the enemy. What did Nabi Karim SAW said? "Aswad, before you become a Muslim, go and take the sheep, go and give it back to them, and then you come and become a Muslim. Go and give that sheep back. You have been entrusted with that sheep. Go and give it back. After you have given it back, then you can come and become a Muslim." Brothers, one of the first aspects with regard to leadership is to build trust with regard to your leadership in whatever field and whatever sphere you are. If you don't have that, you would not be able to be successful in what you are achieving. The second quality of leadership is to be a servant leader. Servant leadership is a very new, trendy type of slogan that people use. They say a person must be a servant leadership. A person who looks at the advantage of the people whom he is leading. He is the one who looks at the example and the benefit of the people whom he is leading, the people who are under his authority, whether it be his wife, whether it be his children, whether it be the people who are in his employ, and whether it be the people who are in the organization, whether it be in a political sense. Brothers, this power is a very, very great leveler and is a very great trial. Someone had very beautifully said that you can bear many adversities, but if you want to test the character of a person, give him power. If you want to test the character of a person, give him power. And then afterwards see with regard to how he behaves after he has power. And there are many people who have failed the test. They were very good before. The moment they have power, they have failed the test with regard to power. So this is one of the great trials with regard to it. And the main goal with regard to a servant leadership is to serve the people. Very different from today, where the main goal with regard to leadership has become, how can I benefit myself? How can I benefit my family members? How can I benefit my cronies? How can I benefit my organization? And today, the people whom you are supposed to lead and the people you are supposed to serve, they come right down last in the line. If ever anything comes to them, just a little bit of, you know, trickle will trickle down to them, otherwise they will get nothing. This was very different in the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the aspects with regard to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's leadership was, he was always in the midst of the people. He didn't make a distinction between himself and the people whom he was leading. He was always in the forefront. Whenever there was a need to sacrifice, whenever there was a need to make any contribution, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Allah Ta'ala told our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can make you a prophet of kingdom. I can make you a prophet of being a servant prophet. A prophet who prioritizes and gives preference to servitude rather than being a king. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose the second one. There are examples of prophets who were kings. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَحَبْلِي مُلْكَ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِ. Oh Allah, give me a kingdom that we had never given anyone. And Allah gave him a kingdom. So they were prophets that Allah Ta'ala had given kingdom. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also given that choice. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Allah, give me food one day, keep me hungry one day. When I am hungry, I will be able to learn to be patient. When I have food, I will learn to be grateful. This is what our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu alladhi yukhalitu al-nas wa yasbiru ala adawum khayrun min al-Muslimi alladhi la yukhalitu al-nas wa la yasbiru ala adawum. A Muslim who intermingles with people. And in intermingling, in being with the people, you are going to face criticism. You are going to face inconvenience. And many times you hear people saying that I go to the mosque and I come away. I don't get involved in anything. I don't get involved in community affairs. As if that is an item of excellence. It's not. A Muslim who intermingles with people is worried about their welfare. And he intermingles with people with the intention of helping them, with the intention of integration, with the intention of making salam to people, being friendly to people. He is better than the Muslim who doesn't intermingle with people. And when he doesn't intermingle, he doesn't have to make sabr upon the inconvenience. Yes, in intermingling and in dealing with community affairs, you are going to have difficulty. You are going to face inconvenience. In the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is better than not intermingling, not getting involved in the affairs of the community. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the forefront. Whenever you saw, in the time of the battle of Khaybar, the battle of Khandaq, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was digging the trench the way the Sahaba were digging. Right? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people to construct the Masjid Nabawi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started carrying the bricks on his shoulder. And the Sahaba, then they started singing poetry, لَإِنْ قَعْدَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّ يَعْمَلْ لَذَاكَ مِنَّ الْعَمَلُ الْمُضَلَّلُ. If we are going to sit and our Nabi is working, then we have gone far away from the true path. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was carrying the bricks and he was constructing the masjid. He was in the forefront. And that is the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with all his other aspects of greatness. He was a servant leader. He was in the forefront. He was in the trenches, so to speak. There's an amazing incident in the Battle of Badr. One of the Sahabi by the name of Sawad bin Ghaziyah. You know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know the situation in Badr. We don't need to give a very great amount of explanation and elaboration. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 313, not well equipped and well resourced, fighting against three times the number, far more greater equipment and far more greater resources. And then Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, and this is one of the greatness of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every expedition Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a plan of action. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always had a plan, put people according to that plan. Those people who believe that you must just make tawakkul and you must just rely upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a plan, then are you not going against the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the greatest tawakkul, but in every expedition he went, he had a plan. He had people who he had placed at various strategic places. The way he placed the people in the battle of Uhud changed the whole course of the battle initially, because he put people who were very good in archery. He placed them on Mount Rumah, and they were so experienced in archery that one of the greatest strength of the Quraysh were the people on the horseback, not the people who were on foot. Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, Khalid bin Walid were on horseback. They could not participate in the battle because the accuracy of the archers did not allow them to take part in the battle. So despite the fact that they were greater in number, their numbers were neutralized by the strategic brilliance of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was only when the archers left their post because of a misunderstanding that the tables turned. So in this whole particular battle of Badr, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is setting the army correct. And Sawab bin Ghaziyah, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, while setting the safs and the lines correct to fight the battle, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sword comes upon the stomach of Sawad bin Ghaziyah. And Sawad bin Ghaziyah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says, Ya Rasulullah, you have hurt me. And according to Islam, there is a law of retaliation. You have hurt me, I must hurt you back in return. How much you have hurt me, I must hurt you back in hurt you back to that extent. And Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's in the moment of the battle, in the heat of the battle. And Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sawad, what do you want? Said, Ya Rasulullah, the way you have touched me, I want to touch you. There was fairness in Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he came forward. And Sawad said, Ya Rasulullah, when you touch me, I didn't have my kurta on. Ya Rasulullah, take off your kurta. Sahaba were getting angry. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes off his kurta. What does Sawad do? He grabs Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He kisses Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on various places. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't want to take retaliation. Look at the odds against us. Look at the odds against us. It seems that this might be the last time we meet. The last time we have an opportunity to interact. And I thought, why don't I take the opportunity of kissing you and hugging you? Perhaps we might not be able to see one another again. With the humility of leaders like Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and followers like Sawad bin Ghaziyah, very few battles are lost. With the humility of a leader like Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and followers like Sawad, very few battles are lost. And that is what we find in the history of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are many aspects of leadership that we can talk on, my dear respected brothers. I told the people I will keep my talk for 45 minutes, and I will try to keep that. Ibn Khaldun, I think it was, there are many beautiful books written on Islamic leadership. Even John Adair, who is regarded to be one of the greatest writers on leadership, has written a book on the leadership qualities of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Someone told me recently, a person who deals with dispute resolution, he says that in dispute resolution, they study the way Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached the peace treaty with the Hudaybiyah as a case study with regard to dispute resolution. We are the only ones who don't take advantage from the seerah of our beloved Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one of these leadership books, I think it was Ibn Khaldun Rahmatullah Alayhi, who has written that I've read many books on leadership, and one of the greatest and the most reiterated term with regard to leadership is influencing others. A leader is one who influences others. And in some way, someone had said, a leader in Islam, unlike you see a CEO, chief executive officer, and CFO, the chief financial officer, They say a leader in Islam is a CIO, Chief Influencer Officer. The one who can influence others. The one who can bring people together with him on the journey. Someone had said, with regard to influence, the ability to persuade others to pursue defined objectives. Let me repeat that again. What is influence? The ability to persuade others, the ability to persuade others to pursue defined objectives. That was our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not cast people aside. Today we take greater pride in making people kafirs than making people Muslims. That is a tragedy of our situation here. More people we put into Jahannam, we get happier. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith, even Mu'tani Rahmatullah Ali in Hayatul Muslimin has made mention of this, that my example and your example is like you going into the fire, like moths going into the fire. And I'm bringing you and telling you not to go into the fire, and I'm bringing you back. Don't go into the fire, don't go into the fire. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the greatest situations of being a leader was his ability to influence others. Forget influencing the people who were close to him. Forget influencing the people who were close to him. Influencing people who were arch enemies. Influencing people, Thamama bin Uthal made mention, and he said he was amongst those who Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they had captured him and he had locked him up in one of the pillars of Masjid al-Nabawi. Right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to come to him and said, Thamama, what should I do with you? Oh Muhammad, if you want to, you can punish me and you will be entitled to punish me. You see, he was on the road where Muslims used to travel to Syria for business. And his tribe, because of him, you used to put obstacles in the path of the Muslims. And they used to hassle the Muslims, harass the Muslims, sometimes attack the Muslims. If you punish me, you're entitled to punish me. But if you show kindness to me, you will show kindness to someone who is very appreciative of kindness. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left him. Left him in the masjid just to see how the Muslims interact. After 1 week, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes and unlock him and says, go to Mama. You are free. Thamama goes outside Medina, he takes a ghusl. He comes back and he becomes a Muslim. And do you know what he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he became a Muslim? Chief Influence Officer. A leader is he who influences others. Oh Muhammad, a week before you were the most hated person in my sight. I hated you more than I hated anyone. Today I love you more than any person in the world. Today I love you more than any person in the world. This is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he influenced people. Ikrama bin Abi Jahl grew up in the house of Abu Jahl. Ya Allah, the greatest enemy of Islam. I normally tell people that the greatest kafir in the history of the not Islam, humanity. Fir'aun said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I'm your Lord. But even Fir'aun, when he was dying, he said, Amantu annahu la ilaha illallah amanat bi Banu Israel. I bring iman of the Lord of Banu Israel. This Fir'aun of this ummah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him the Fir'aun of this ummah. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is about to cut his neck off, he tells Abdullah, cut my neck off here near the chest. So after I die, my head will stand out. Such pride, such arrogance, such kufr, such pride. The son of the person who grew up in that household. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam conquers Makkah, he runs away from Makkah. He takes a ship, he's about to board to go to Yemen. Allah had other plans, Allah wanted to give him hidayah. The ship, something happened, he comes back to the shore. His wife in the meanwhile comes to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, yeah, she becomes a Muslim. Ya Rasulullah, give protection to my husband, Ikrama. Let him come and see your rahmat. Let him come see your mercy. Come and see your greatness, your fairness, your justice. Go, I have given him protection. She goes in search of her husband. She brings Nabi Kareem, she brings Ikrama to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Muhammad Idris Kandalvi Rahmatullah Ali writes that when Ikrama is about to come into the gathering, he's coming in the gathering, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells the Sahaba, don't speak bad about his father. Don't speak bad about his father. Which father? That Abu Jahl about which I told you about. Don't speak bad about him. Speaking bad about the dead doesn't change their fortune. It only hurts the heart of the living. That's all what it does. Nabi Karim S.A.W. gets up to such an extent that the lungi of Nabi Karim S.A.W. becomes loose. Nabi S.A.W. dies it. Ikrama becomes a Muslim. He goes out in jihad. In one of the jihad, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's the commander. And Ikrama said, Khalid, give me permission to go in the midst of the enemy. Khalid said, Ikrama, take it easy. Take it easy. You can't go in the midst of the enemy. We'll go together. He tells and he rebukes Khalid. He said, Khalid, you didn't see my days of kufr. Why are you stopping me now from making jihad and making effort for the sake of truth? You didn't see my kufr. Now you're stopping me from making effort for the sake of truth. He goes in the midst of the battle and the historian narrates 90 wounds in the front of his body. How did he change? Who influenced him? That's a leader. A man who influences. And he brings people together. He don't take people away. He don't make them outcast. Even those who are out, he brings them closer. And he makes them share in his journey. He makes them share in the truth that he is so confident about. That is our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I would just like to give you an example of leadership, my dear respected brothers. Hudaybiyah is a very amazing incident. And few points with regard to how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a leader. You see, so Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to Hudaybiyah, realizes that the dream that they saw that he will make Umrah is not going to happen in this year. It's going to happen some other time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, now I will put forward to them, and if they put forward to me anything with regard to peace, I will accept the peace treaty. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pursues a peace treaty. Now look at how he pursues a peace treaty. How does he go around achieving his objective as a leader? He wants to achieve peace treaty. He wants to achieve peace at a time when many of his companions are angry because of not being allowed to go and make Umrah, when they have come only for Umrah. Look at some of the tactics Nabi Karim S.A.W. has employed. First, the people come to Nabi Karim S.A.W. to come and find out why did Nabi Karim S.A.W. come to Makkah. Nabi S.A.W. treats everyone in accordance with their status and what their background is. So first, Budayl bin Waraka comes from the Bani Khuza'ah. Nabi S.A.W. treats him so well, we have come for Umrah. And this, look at all the animals we have brought to be slaughtered in the Haram. We have not come to fight. So Budayl bin Waraka becomes an ally. So when they sign the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Khuza'ah are the allies of the Muslims. They signed the treaty on behalf of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, treats Budayl bin Waraka with such. Then there comes another person by the name of Ulays bin Alqama. Ulays bin Alqama was the leader of the Ahbash. Who are the Ahbash? The African community in Makkah. There used to be an African community in Makkah, from Africa. Right? So Ulays bin Alqama was someone who was very, very taken aback and respected great amount of sanctity, you know, the what we will call today the tabarrukats, etc. So they had a lot of respect for sanctity. So when Ulays came, Nabi S.A.W. told the Sahaba, put all the camels which we had marked that we have come for Umrah and we are going to slaughter these camels in the Haram, put it in front of Ulays. So when he sees this, he goes back to the people of Makkah and said, you people are stopping the Muslims. They have not come here to fight, they have come here to make Umrah. How can you stop them? And he goes and kicks up a big amount of racket and he makes a noise. How can you stop the Muslims? How Nabi Karim S.A.W. dealt with him. Then Nabi Karim S.A.W. sends Uthman ibn Affan to the people of Makkah. First Nabi S.A.W. sent Umar, then Nabi S.A.W. sent Uthman. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala, what a great choice. The historians say that the Quraysh used to... Women used to lull their babies to sleep by saying, oh my baby, go and sleep. I love you as much as the Quraysh loves Uthman ibn Affan. Because of his generosity. Generosity is something that people like. People love generous people. A person who is miserly, people will stay away from him. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends the right person. And then together with that, Now, I don't want to go into all the details. I just want to show you how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached the peace treaty. Then when it is said that he goes, Urwa bin Mas'ud goes and tells the people of Makkah, reach a peace treaty with Muslims. I have seen how loyal they are to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then they appoint Suhail bin Amr to be their chief negotiator. Now, this is a leader. And he said, now Allah will make things easy for you. The root word of Suhail comes from the word Sa'al, which means easy. This is a leader. He looks for points of optimism. He looks to give encouragement to the people. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard Suhail is now the leader of the negotiating team of the Quraysh, he said, now things, Allah will make things easy. And then, when they are signing the peace treaty, a leader has vision. A leader knows what to sacrifice, when to sacrifice for the sake of a bigger picture, for the sake of a vision. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted the peace. And do you know why he wanted the peace? Let me tell you why he wanted the peace, and then I make mention of that and I conclude. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted peace because up till then, the Quraysh could not see the beauty of Islam. Hostility did not allow them to see the beauty of Islam. This is a reality. When you are hostile with someone, when you are an enemy with someone, you will never see the beauty of his teachings. And this is a lesson. We must not allow the people who are around us in our country to become hostile to us. When you are hostile, you create an environment of hostility, they will never see the beauty of Islam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to remove that hostility so that people could see Islam for what it was. The truth of Islam, the beauty of Islam, the wisdom of Islam. Hostility won't allow you to see the beauty. When you are hostile with someone, even if he has good qualities, you will never see the good quality. That's the reality. Hostility blinds you, just as love blinds you. Huh? The way love blinds you, hostility also blinds you. They say, time makes love pass. They say, love makes time pass, and time makes love pass. So when you are in love, the time goes very quickly. And after a while, time makes that love also pass. You no more have that same degree of intensity in your love that you had in the early stages. So love makes time pass and time makes love pass. But there is an intensity in love and in hatred which makes you blind. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to remove that. That is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so keen on the peace treaty. He had a vision. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say, people regarded the treaty, the conquest of Makkah, as a success, as a victory. We Sahaba regarded the treaty of Hudaybiyah as the greatest victory. Because it opened up the doors of da'wah. And so many Muslims accepted Islam in 2 years from the treaty of Hudaybiyah that didn't accept Islam in the preceding 19 years of Islamic history. Why? There was not hostility. There was peace. The power of peace sometimes, not all the time, sometimes is greater than the power of war. And then when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is signing the peace treaty, the first words, this is a peace treaty between Muhammad, Rasulullah, with the Quraysh of Makkah. Hazrat Ali is writing. And the people of Makkah says, if we believed in your Muhammad as a Rasul, we would not have fought with him. We are not in agreement with this writing the peace treaty, Muhammadur Rasulullah, with the people of Quraysh. Change it. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm not changing it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give me the peace treaty. As a miracle, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not learn to read and write, was untutored, but he had greater knowledge than everyone. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam erased it himself. Erased what? Rasulullah. This is a leader. He is able to see the bigger picture. He is able to see a vision for which he is fighting for. He erases Muhammadur Rasulullah and he writes Muhammad, the treaty between Muhammad ibn Abdullah and the Quraysh. And such was the leadership that while they were busy writing the treaty, the son of Suhail bin Amr, Abu Jandal, comes and he is dying. He had become a Muslim. And he was being tortured by the people of Makkah. And he comes to the people of Muslims of in Hudaybiyah. Free me, O Muslims, free me, O Muslims. And now, first of all, the treaty didn't allow them to go for Umrah. And now this Abu Jandal comes and he is tortured. and he's pleading for help. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells his father, free Abu Jandal. He wants to come to the Muslim. The treaty says, any Muslims that come from the Meccans to the Muslims, Muslims must return him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells Suhail, we haven't signed the treaty. Suhail said that if you don't return him, I don't sign the treaty. Abu Jandal, go back, Allah Ta'ala will open up some way, make sabah. This is a leader. He doesn't follow the people. He leads because he knows what he wants. It's amazing. I mean, I can speak on so many things with regard to Nabi Karim. This is a leader. He leads. Even when the people were finding it difficult to accept, he had a vision. He knew what he was trying to achieve. He leads the people towards that vision. And then so many people become Muslims. In our recent past, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali had a vision. I was just reading his autobiography, which has been translated. And he was fighting for the freedom of India. And I say, sometimes, can you think an alim had such a vision? He told the people and he said, let us fight for freedom in India. Because the biggest colonialists, the greatest throne, the greatest capture is India because of its wealth. If the Muslims of India achieve freedom, then all the people who are under colonialism in Africa, they will have the courage to fight for their freedom. They will also fight for freedom. He had a vision. Right? Unfortunately, Allah knows best. Things didn't go according to his vision. But he had a vision. A leader has a vision. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had a vision and he was able to. That is why when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, ya Rasulullah, are we not on haq? Are we not on truth? And he said, yes, we are on truth. We are on truth. Then why do we accept this treaty which seems so against us? Oh Umar, in this day is victory. Oh Umar, in this day is wisdom. A leader takes the people with him towards his vision. And this is what our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And lastly, let me just say, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًّا غَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Only I had the time to explain this in terms of the leadership qualities of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is a rahmat of Almighty Allah that He is kind and generous and tolerant towards you. If He was harsh and if He was vulgar, then people would not have surrounded Him. One of the necessary qualities of being a leader is to be generous, to be tolerant, and to be kind, to be compassionate. With kindness, compassion, and tolerance, you bring the people whom you are leading together. You bring people together. If you are kind, compassionate, tolerant in your house, you will bring the people of your house together. You will bring your family together. If you are harsh, as Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, then you are going to tear the unity of the community, the family, the ummah, the society. If only people who claim that they have leadership can understand this, that harshness breaks a community. The more harsh we become, the more the community is going to disunite. The more generous you are, the more tolerant you are, the more kind you are, the more compassionate you are, the more you will bring the community together. There are many examples we can give. But let me just say in conclusion, just as in many other aspects of our life, we need the seerah of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to guide us. We also need the seerah of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in leadership to guide us so that we can gain the right leadership within our organizations, within our communities, within our societies, within the ummah, and within our families, within our broader society. May Allah give you another tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarak rabbana wa ta'aliti ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma ja'al nabiyyina lana farata wa hawdahu lana maulida. Allahumma ahshurna fi zumratih wa sta'milna bi sunnatih وتوفنا على ملته وجعلنا من حزبه. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.